Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you, net listening audience. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update what's going on here in the ministry in Africa. Coming to you from Kenya today, and we thank the Lord. We've been getting good rain the last 2 weeks, and so our maize crop and our bean crop and our vegetable crops are looking very good. We plant about 3.5 acres of crops for the children, mostly for the children, and so we can grow as much food as possible here on our place. We have to buy a lot of maize because that's the one item we run out of, we run short on every year. They eat maize in maize meal Ugali every single day, and so that's the staple of their diet. We also buy rice and sugar. And so we are being blessed by lots of rain, and we invite you to support the children. I don't have the fees yet to get all the children back in school. They're in school, but we still have a balance on the fees. And so if you would like to support the children, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast, and you can find out how you can support those children. Also, an exciting development in the ministry, we're making plans to bring a team of Kenyans to the U.S. in July for training at the Encounter God conferences put on by Northwest Kansas Encounter Ministry. And so we'll be bringing a team of about 4 Kenyans over, and so that will be a blessing for them. The idea is to start to put on these Encounter meetings in Kenya and eventually branch out to Nairobi, branch out to maybe other countries here in East Africa. I have many contacts with pastors all over East Africa, and so we can take these training courses to other countries. I already have a pastor from Burundi that is interested in bringing this to his country, and so this is going to spread, and we're thanking the Lord for that and praying for the provision to get the Encounter team over there, plane tickets, and expenses while in the country and all that. So you can be a part of that also if you would like. Well, today we're going to be talking about a major issue here in the United States, not just in the USA, but also in countries all over the world. It's a big issue, becoming a big issue here in Kenya as well, and that is the issue of abortion and the abortion debate, which is raging at this time in the U.S. All of you know that there was a leak regarding an opinion coming out of the United States Supreme Court, and so that leak has mobilized the opposition to this decision and mobilized the opposition to try to intimidate the Supreme Court, and I'm very disappointed in that leak, very much opposed to that. But also, I just want to shed some light on the abortion debate and what does God say about it in His Word? How can we get God's viewpoint on this? And I understand there are many viewpoints. I'm trying to be sensitive to other people's viewpoints. I know there are very passionate viewpoints, passionate emotions around this issue. And so I just want to say also before I start, that if you are listening to me today and you've had an abortion or you've been part of an abortion, maybe you've been a man that has paid for an abortion and you've been a part of it in that way, if you have in the past been a part of an abortion or had an abortion, don't be condemned, don't feel condemned. Jesus Christ does not condemn you. I do not condemn you. There is no condemnation for those who come to Christ. And so you just have to listen, and maybe you felt very justified and still do in the way that you reacted in your situation. And so just pray about it. Listen to what this message has to say. Listen to the instruction from this message and pray about it. Pray about what you think God is saying to you. And beloved, if we all come together, we can learn once again also that this is not the end of abortion, even if the Supreme Court rules that Roe v. Wade has been set aside. That is not the end of the debate. It will go on for many years. All this does is put it back in the ballpark of the states and put it back in the hands of the states so that then the states can decide individually how they want to deal with this issue. And so there'll be some states that obviously will ban abortion, and there will be other states that will say we want to continue with abortion. And so ladies who want abortions can continue to get abortions if they travel to those states. That's going to be the reality for many years to come. And so this does not end the debate. The Supreme Court ruling, if and when it comes out, it will not end the debate on abortion. Well, what does God have to say about it? We have to go back to the beginning in the first chapter of Genesis. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Genesis 1. And in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And so if you recognize the fact that God is the author of creation, then we have a place of agreement where we can start to talk about this situation. If you don't believe that God is the creator, if you have another religion, or if you're an atheist, then you're going to have a hard time understanding what I'm saying today. And this is not going to make a whole lot of sense to you, because this has to start with the idea that God is the creator. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he is also the creator of mankind. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us." So God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were there at this time. When all of the other creation had been created, then God gets around to dealing with the creation of man, which is his crowning creation of all the things in the heavens and the earth. Man and mankind, man, woman, child, however you want to say it, that is the crowning creation of God's work on the earth, God's work in the universe. And so in Genesis 1:26, then God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are there. "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. Verse 27, "In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." And so God is the author of the creation of man and woman and child, and God created man in his own image. When you get to heaven, you're going to see that we are created in the image of God. And so we have hands, God has a hand. We have eyes, God has eyes. God is also spirit, or he is spirit, but also his spirit also takes the form and the shape of the same as we have. We have hands, we have eyes, we have a soul. God has a soul. God has emotions, we have emotions. And so we are created in the image of God. And God then gave us dominion over the cattle, over the fish of the sea, everything that creeps. We have dominion over all of God's creation here on this earth. We are to take care of this earth. We are to take care of the animals. That's why farmers love their cattle. That's why fishermen love to fish. We are to take care of the fish. We're to take care of the cattle. We're to take care of the birds, the bees, the trees, everything on the earth. It is our obligation to take care of those things. I understand that very well. When I was in university, I studied environmental science. And so I know a bit about the environment, how to care for it. I was also an organic farmer, still am, and was for 25 or 30 years. Can't even remember when I started organic farming. So I have a heart and a passion to care for the earth, to care for the things of the earth, and I'm sure you do as well. So in verse 28, Genesis 1, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them," that is to man and woman, "he blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Well, I'm going to insert a little anecdote here. In Kenya, abortion is illegal. It is encoded in law that it is illegal. And in fact, every country in Africa that I've been in which is six countries now, seven including Zanzibar, abortion is illegal, and I believe it's illegal in just about every African country. Maybe not all, there may be some where it is legal, but in nearly every African country, which there are 58 of them, abortion is illegal. And people here understand very well, be fruitful and multiply. That's one of the first passages of scripture that they will quote to you. And people here in Africa, many of them have 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 children in their family, and they don't get too concerned about how they're going to feed them. They just want to have children. They want to be fruitful and multiply. They believe that is God's will for their life, and they believe that they are fulfilling God's will because he says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and you will have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God cares about his creation. God cares about children. He cares about the blood of the innocents, the women, the children, anybody who is innocent. He cares about that blood. And that starts in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, where Abel is killed by his brother Cain. And in verse 10, God said to Cain, what have you done after he killed Abel? What have you done with your brother? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So you now are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the earth, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. And so Cain rose up. He was angry, and he rose up. He killed his brother, and God said, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me, because Abel was innocent. He had no fault in this situation, and so his blood cries out from the land. And God said, now to Cain, you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood. Well, in America, we now have 63 million babies who have been aborted. Since 1973, when Roe v. Wade, that Supreme Court decision, handed down free and easy access and legal access to abortion in America, we have now eliminated or murdered, you could say, 63 million babies in the womb. I understand, although I, of course, have never been in a woman's body, I understand the issues of women where they want to have control and make the decisions over their own body. But from God's point of view, these babies in the womb are not the woman. She is just the carrier. She is the vessel. And I understand there are difficult pregnancies. I understand there's complications with pregnancies and difficult situations, how women get pregnant. But the baby inside, the baby is a living human being from conception. It is a living human being who has been given life from Almighty God. And that conception starts when a sperm and an egg comes together. There's a spark of life that comes in, and nobody really knows how that happens. Yes, we see pictures of it, and we have scientific explanations, but without God, there is no creation. There is no life. God is the author of creation. Well, in the covenant of Noah, Genesis 9, chapter 5, Noah has been in the ark, and he comes out of the ark, and God makes a covenant with him to start off the human race again, because all of the people on the earth have been destroyed in the flood. And so God says to Noah, when he establishes his covenant with him, surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning or a payment. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Verse 6 in Genesis 9, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. In other words, whoever sheds man's blood, the payment for that blood must come from the one who sheds it. Let me say that again, verse 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. Well, beloved, pray about that passage of scripture. It is very powerful. Pray about that, and you will get some understanding of God's viewpoint on this subject of abortion. You will get some understanding of God's point of view, because God says, when you shed the blood of the innocents, the people who shed the blood will have to make the payment to recompense God for that shed blood. And so if you think about 63 million babies that have been aborted in the United States since 1973, how will we ever make payment for the shed blood of those 63 million innocent babies? Verse 7 in Genesis 9, as for you, Noah, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. And so God says the same thing to Noah that he said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. So it is God's will that we have children. It is God's will that we propagate the human race. I remember back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, there was a book, The Population Bomb, and dire predictions were being made about the whole earth being overrun with high population. Well, we see that in most of the modern industrial nations of the world, that has not happened at all. In fact, in the U.S., the population growth is practically stagnant from birth. That is, it is practically stagnant. And the same is in Europe and the modern nations, the industrial nations of the world. The population growth is practically stagnant. And the only place where there is population growth is places like Africa, India, and possibly China. But even in Africa, there are fewer and fewer children being born to couples each year. The population rate of growth is going down year after year. And so that is a situation that has turned out to be not conforming to the prophecies or not conforming to the models that were predicted way back in the 60s and 70s. We have about 7 to 8 billion people here on the earth, but there are many places where more people could live. There are many places where more people could grow food. And so we need to take into consideration that God will provide when people multiply and replenish the earth. God can provide, and he does provide. And so we need to be cognizant of the fact that God is also the provider for mankind, and he will do so until the day when Jesus comes back and new heaven and a new earth here is established here in God's kingdom. Well, I'm going to turn now to Psalm 106, and this is a recounting of the children of Israel as they went in to the promised land. Psalm 106 in verse 36, God says, let's start in verse 35, God says, but they mingled, the children of Israel, with the Gentiles, and they learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. And they shed innocent blood. Verse 38, they shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. So God says when his children came into the land of Canaan, when they came into the promised land, they followed the works, or they copied the works of the people who were living there, who were all wicked tribes. They were all unrighteous tribes full of iniquity. And so God says they served their idols and they began to sacrifice their own sons and their own daughters to the demons, and they shed the innocent blood of their own sons and daughters. Well, beloved, if you read through the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Lamentations, specifically those, you will find out that when the children of Israel started to copy and imitate the wicked and unrighteous tribes of the promised land, that God then gave these children of Israel up to their captors. He gave them up to their enemies, and the children of Israel were then taken from the promised land. They were taken into captivity. First, the 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes of Israel went into captivity in Assyria, and then years later, the southern tribes, Benjamin and Judah, were taken captive, and Jerusalem was destroyed, and the captives were then taken to Babylon, and so there was nothing left for 70 years except a few scarce peasant farmers. There was nothing left of the children of Israel in Jerusalem and in the promised land, and so they went into captivity for 70 years. And just by the grace of God, did God give them the grace then after 70 years to come back? Read the book of Nehemiah, the book of Ezra, the book of Daniel. They came back to the promised land and established, reestablished the city of Jerusalem, reestablished the nation of Israel. And so that was a miraculous thing, that God restored them to their land after they had been taken out by their enemies. But God said they shed the innocent blood and the blood of their sons and daughters, and they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. Well, if you think about abortion, what is abortion? Why do women abort? I understand there are very difficult situations in people's lives, difficult financial situations, difficult situations regarding rape, incest, all these types of things. But when a person sacrifices that growing baby, that growing human being that is in their womb, and they sacrifice that, they're sacrificing most of the time to the idols of convenience, to the idols of reputation, to the idols of not wanting to be bothered by this fetus, this aborted baby, not wanting to be bothered by raising up another human being. And so they're sacrificing these babies to the idols in their life that get in the way of them being the person they want to be. They get in the way of their lifestyle. They get in the way of their preconceived ideas about who they are, what they are. And in many cases, it's just a type of birth control. And so they sacrifice babies. These are human beings. They will be in heaven. You will see them in heaven when you get there. These are human beings born in the image of God, and they are created in the image of God. And so to sacrifice these babies is to shed innocent blood. And God says the land was polluted with the innocent blood, and they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. And so when these children, again, when these children of Israel sacrificed the babies to the idols of Canaan, then God said, I can't listen to the cries of the innocent crying out from the land. I cannot listen to the cries of the blood coming up to my ears. And God said, then I'm going to turn these people over to their enemies, and I'm going to punish them for the deeds that they have done. God is speaking to us here in America. He is tired of listening to the cries of the innocents. That's why this abortion debate is here now. It's because people have been praying about this for many years. People have been active not only on the abortion side, but on the opposition side to end abortion for many years. And I believe this is God's will, that this is coming to the United States right now, this debate which has been going on for many years. It is coming to a head now. It is coming to a place where people are going to have to say, yes, I believe in murdering babies, or no, I believe in protecting babies and protecting them because they are made in the image of God, and the blood of the innocent shall no longer be shed and poured out on the land of the United States of America. Well, beloved, this is, again, a very touchy subject. It's a difficult subject for many people to deal with, but if you study the whole counsel of God's Word and you understand the whole counsel of God's Word, you understand that God is passionate about his children. He's passionate about his creation. And so this is his desire. And that's why we are being presented with this as a nation. We're being presented with this issue right now as we deal with the shed blood of the innocents, as that blood cries out from the land. People are starting to understand God's will in this situation. Pray about this. It's a difficult situation for many people. Pray about it. Study God's word. Attempt to understand the heart and the passion that God has for his creation. And maybe God will give you revelation on this issue. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We come to you each and every Sunday. We thank the Lord for all the provision. We invite you to partner with us in this ministry, not only to keep the radio broadcast coming, but also to help us here in Africa take care of the orphan children and also preach crusades and establish churches here. We've got many projects going here. You can be a part of that. As you send, we go. So we invite you to be a part of this ministry. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a check today. Pray for us. We thank the Lord that you are standing with us, praying for us, and helping to support this ministry. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week.